Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Sarah, while you wrote that paragraph, I just ordered you a Mahjong set for Christmas.
Oh, cool. I'll pretend to be surprised.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In this episode, we talk about buckling down. Our workload is at maximum intensity right now, and we're putting our noses to the grindstone.
Then, in Take a Hike, we'll talk about the power and importance of our new obsession, Mahjong. We'll also answer a mailbag question from someone who's considering a move to Los Angeles.
And this week's Hollywood hack is guaranteed to improve your presentations.
Yes, but first, Sarah, we have an update. We have been hearing from so many female plastic surgeons.
It is so exciting.
Yes, and we should remind everyone why all these female plastic surgeons are emailing us, not to suggest procedures, although I'm definitely open to that. But it's because we are writing a pilot for ABC called Plastics.
Yes, and it seems like the premise of our show is definitely on point because every single woman who is a plastic surgeon who has emailed us said that being a woman in this field is super challenging.
Yeah. So our show is about three female plastic surgeons in their mid-30s who are starting a practice together in New York City. And it's kind of about the sexism of the industry and how hard it is to be a woman in a man's field.
And what badasses they are.
What badasses they are. And also because they've spent all this time in school, they're in their mid-30s, but they don't necessarily have a partner or they don't have kids. So they're kind of starting everything, work and personal, in their mid-30s.
Yeah, so it's gratifying to know that our show is, you know, so on point, and also that we're getting so many amazing potential consultants for
yes,
the future.
Yes, many offers. So thank you all. We will be getting in touch.
And Liz, another update. In episode 130, we talked about how to focus during Armageddon, which is what L.A. kind of feels like right now. And we asked your sister, Gretchen Rubin, for advice. And one of the things she said was to turn off our notifications. Life changer.
Yes, it was. I had a hard time mentally actually doing it, but you did it first, so that inspired me. So we both turned them off. I turned off phone and iPad. And it's made a huge difference.
It is so much less distracting.
It really is. Like, we are way more focused.
Yes. And we are starting to get emails from listeners with more kind of digital decluttering apps and things. So keep those coming. We'll do another update in the future.
Yes, about how to focus during Armageddon. Even people not in Los Angeles, I think, often feel they're living through Armageddon.
True.
And then finally, Sarah, before we dive into Treadmill Desk, I just want to mention that Gretchen and I are doing our last live shows of 2019 this weekend. Tickets are on sale for Charlotte, Atlanta, and Brooklyn. Go to GretchenRubin.com/events for links to buy tickets. Come see us. It has been a great, great experience. We're told it makes a great night out. So come see us.
Okay, Liz, it's time for From the Treadmill Desks Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week, it is putting our noses to the grindstone.
Yes, it is crunch time, and it's going to continue to be crunch time for several months.
Yes, at least through the holidays. Yes. So this is like a long-haul crunch.
It is a fun job, and we enjoy it.
Yes.
And we always say, or we often say on this podcast, we don't work nights and weekends because it's usually not necessary. However,
right now
it is.
Yeah.
So we always say when we say we don't work nights and weekends, we always qualify it with unless it's really necessary.
Right
and now
it is. And it's also, frankly, not that fun.
Right. It's not that fun right now. Now is the hard part. Yeah. Now is the grind.
Yeah, we've done the creative, like, la, 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 think about this, think about that. Now it's just like one foot in front of the other, getting through all the tough stuff. And it's the kind of thing that when we're running a show, we have to do it also, but we're doing so many other things that this kind of tough technical stuff where you're just sitting and writing and thinking and writing and thinking and writing and thinking is only part of the day.
Yeah.
Now it's like all of the day, every day.
It really takes our stamina.
Yeah.
One thing I found myself doing, Sarah, is accepting invitations or making plans that I logically know I won't be able to keep.
Right.
Because I want to do things, and we're always saying, say yes, say yes. And so I say yes, but in the back of my mind, I do the math, and I'm like, there's no way I can go to that event.
Right. You know you're going to have to cancel, so then you have the pressure kind of weighing on you of, like, when do you accept that reality and just cancel?
Yes. So moving forward, I really want to try to stop making plans that I know I'll be canceling because of work.
Yes, because this is the time. We're really getting down to, we can only do our non-negotiables. And by the way, this is a thing that is not just like, you know, TV writers doing pilots. Everyone has these times in their work life when all the things they say about sanity and all the things that they say they're going to do to take care of themselves and, you know, have that sane functional life that we all want kind of fly out the window.
Yes. I'm thinking of April for an accountant, for instance.
Yes, exactly. Or like right before a trial for a lawyer. Or shearing time for a sheep farmer. And we're in it. We're deep.
It's the season of sacrifice we've talked about before. This is the season of sacrifice.
Yes. And within our season of sacrifice, we need to have non-negotiables.
Right. A few things that we continue to keep up so that we don't just totally fall apart and end up at the end of our season of sacrifice in the hospital, as has happened to friends of ours.
And me that one time.
And you once. That's true. So what are our non-negotiables?
Well, strength code.
Yes, that is the weight training thing you and I both do. It's just half an hour a week. So the idea is no matter what's going on, it's nearby. So the idea is no matter what's going on, we can get to the strength code and do our workout.
Yes. And between, like, we're not doing a great job hiking, although now that it's getting cooler, I maintain that we could probably do that before we put our noses to the grindstone every day.
Maybe at least once a week.
Yeah. But between strength code and the treadmill desk in our office, we're at least moving and exercising.
Now, you have a bedtime as a non-negotiable. I think you're a lot better about that than I am.
Yeah, bedtime for me with Violet is like our real kind of connection time during the day. So that becomes for me a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And I'll miss it, you know, every few weeks if necessary. But like that kind of hour and a half period of getting her to sleep is definitely one of my non-negotiables.
Yeah. Whereas I let that go.
Well, Jack's older and he goes to bed later. Like, it's just a very
different. My own bedtime also varies. And then, Sarah, I think you're also better at this than I am, which is eating good, healthy food.
I am really, really, really trying. And that is helped by the fact that Violet's nanny, Estella, cooks us a healthy dinner.
Yeah.
You know, last night no thanks to me. We had a delicious broccoli spinach soup, which, you wouldn't know that that's good, but it's delicious. So I know I'm going to get a healthy dinner. And then, you know, we do try and have healthy lunches.
We do, yeah. But I fall apart when I get home.
I see. We do.
But we are really cutting down or completely cutting out, like, our lunches with friends or dinner with girlfriends or other TV writers, all of that.
Yeah, that's out.
The one thing that we are continuing, and we're going to talk about this in the Take a Hike segment, is our new Mahjong group.
Yes, our monthly Mahjong group. Now, one part of that is it's only once a month. For you, it's twice because you have two groups, but once a month is manageable.
So we'll talk about why we're keeping that up in the next segment.
Yes. So it's basically just the basics and work, and that is it.
Yeah. And the hardest part is there's no promise of a good outcome. Right. We could do all this
for nothing.
Yeah. I hope that's not the case.
Well, and I think here is where you just, like, we have to have some kind of faith and optimism.
Yes.
Because without it, this part becomes untenable.
Yes.
So you just have to be like, nope. Nope, these are getting made.
You just have to say, hey, this is happening. Two shows. Yay. Woo-hoo. Rah, rah, rah.
And then we can get punched in the face later.
Yes, I look forward to that.
Onward.
Next up, a listener question about the timing of moving to LA. But first, this break. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Sarah, it is time for our mailbag segment. And this question comes from Sandra. She says, I'm an aspiring writer and director that wants to make the jump to LA from Seattle. I would love to hear how much and what kind of scripts, shorts, features, specs, etc., a writer should have before making the jump to LA. I've written some shorts and two features and am continuing to write, but I still feel underprepared for LA. I know I'll be starting as a PA, but I want to make sure I have something to show that will validate me as a writer. Ultimately, I'd love to know what you two think are the minimum scripts a writer should have under their belt before considering a move to LA to become a writer. Oh, good question.
It is. I think it really depends on your situation. Like, how old are you and what are your living expenses?
Right.
If you're 22 and you're living at home and it's super cheap, take some time to write some amazing scripts. If you're 40 and, like, it's a different story, get your ass to LA and get rolling.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing to remember about scripts is quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Now, you may need to write a lot of scripts to get a good one. But one good script is way better than 10 mediocre scripts. You really want that one great piece of material. Now, Seattle is a very, Seattle has a lot going on. So I'm sure she could do writing groups in Seattle or take classes in Seattle. If you're somewhere where that's not available to you, again, depending on your circumstance, it's better to move to LA faster so you can surround yourself with people who want to do what you want to do.
And I think a critical thing is to honestly assess your writing before you move and have other people do that as well. Like, there are people, so many people who think they can write, but they can't actually write. And part of it is just, like, basic understanding of language.
Yeah.
Grammar, structure, all of those things that, like, we think we get that oftentimes we don't.
Yeah.
Make sure you have an incredibly good grasp on those things, because that will turn off a reader faster than anything else.
Yes. If we read a page of a script and it has badly written sentences just in the description, then we just toss it aside.
Yeah.
So one thing, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, is getting those fundamentals down, sort of the English paper fundamentals, let's call it, is key. So it's not just about writing scripts. It's about
writing a
sentence. Exactly.
Start with writing great sentences.
Yes.
And then expand to writing great scripts.
Yes. And I will say, if someone just said to me, you have to say move or don't move, I mean, I would just say move. Just get here, get in the world, get in the culture, meet people, make friends. You know, why not?
Yes. And if I had to say exactly how many scripts I think you should have before you move, it's easy to say one great script.
Right.
That's the perfect answer. Have one great script in whatever it is you want to do. If you want to be a comedy writer, have a great comedy script. If you want to be a drama writer, have a great drama script. Do you want to do cable? Do you want to do broadcast? Do you want to write features? You have to kind of know the answer to that question. Sometimes that's not possible. So just whatever your one great script is, write that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say like two. If you're saying, how many scripts do I want to have printed and in my suitcase or ready to email before I go? Two.
No one's
going to read more than two, so why bother having more than two? But they have to be really good.
Yes. Good luck, Sandra.
See you when you get here.
We'll see you at the Grove.
I never go to the Grove.
I'll see you at the Grove.
Okay, Liz, it's time for Take a Hike, where we talk about physical, mental, or spiritual health. And this week, it's mental health, which we definitely need during this nose to the grindstones time.
Yes. And Sarah, the thing that has been preserving our mental health lately is Mahjong.
Yes. Now, explain to our listeners how this became a part of your and now my life.
Well, I've been playing Mahjong for over a year. And I have been basically bullying you about playing for like 6 months, telling you that you would love Mahjong and I want you in a Mahjong group and on and on and on. And this is American Mahjong, I should say. And it has become very popular, I think, because of the movie Crazy Rich Asians, where there's this amazing scene written by Adele Lim. Where two of the characters are playing Mahjong, and I think it really captured everyone's imagination. But this has been a very popular game in the United States for decades.
Yes.
But it's usually associated with older retired women, and now I think younger women are starting to play. Which makes us younger.
Absolutely. But it also makes it very, very hard to get a Mahjong teacher.
Oh, yes. You can't get a Mahjong. So you and I decided we were going to start a Mahjong group with a couple of friends. And we wanted to get a teacher because I'm not that good. And we emailed like 7 to 10 teachers and nobody was available or they wouldn't come to a private house.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't go to the valley. They're like, I'm only in Santa Monica. Yes. A lot of people in Santa Monica are playing Mahjong, apparently.
So we're kind of stumbling along with cheat sheets and with me imparting my knowledge. But anyway, the other night we had a game set up and I texted you and said, should we cancel tonight? Because we are buckling down, our noses to the grindstone. We have to get this thing in.
Yeah.
And you responded,
no, we should do it. We should go. We can't say no to everything. We have to pick like our, I didn't say all of this in the text.
Yeah. But this is what you were thinking.
Yes. That like we have to have something to look forward to.
Well, and what you said was, if we don't do it tonight, we will never do it again.
Yeah.
And you're right. Because we're in this season of sacrifice, it could be 6 months before we play it again. And why it's useful and why we're sticking to this as opposed to dinner with a friend is because the mental activity of it is so engaging, because it's basically you're trying to make these complicated hands. And it's so all-encompassing that it really takes our mind off work. And we need that little relief.
Yes. It is I don't know if how many of our listeners have played Mahjong other than on their iPads, which is a very different experience, because I play it on my iPad.
Oh, I've never played it.
It is totally different to play it in a group of four people. And it is so complicated and ritualistic. And like the first time we played, there's a card that you get. It was like looking at something in another language. I could not decipher it at all. And we've played one more time since then, and it's totally different. Just between the first game and the second game, I'm starting to be able to get it, but it is so engaging. It's 2 hours where we are thinking of nothing but Mahjong and cracks and bams and soap.
And dots. And what why I think it's useful is because we really do hit the wall and reach this maximum burnout point. Yeah. And at that point, your mind just needs to let go. And this is a way to let go. So we had worked, like when we played the other night, we had worked intensely for like, I don't know, 12 hours or 10 hours. Yeah. I don't know how long. And then because we went and played Mahjong, we actually were the next morning completely refreshed and had a crazily productive day.
Yes. And it's not like we both went in sweats. It's not like we got all dudded up and went to our Mahjong group. We rolled in like, hey, guys, here we are. It requires no sort of effort aside from the effort that you put in during those totally engaging hours.
Yeah. So I want to know if our listeners have things they do that completely take them out of their worries, their troubles, their work, whatever it may be. What relieves you of that and refreshes you enough that you hang on to it, even in your season of sacrifice? Send us a voice memo or email us at happierinhollywood@gmail.com.
Next up, we have a Hollywood hack that will save your voice. But first, this break.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's time for this week's Hollywood hack. If someone asks you if you want a microphone, the answer is always yes.
Yeah. So Liz, you were saying this to me the other day. Why did this come up for you?
Well, you know, Gretchen and I have been touring with our show Happier Hour, and so I've been using microphones a lot lately, and I have realized that it is not this scary thing. I think a lot of people, like, don't want to use microphones because they feel either, one, nervous, because it's like, oh, my God, we're really amplifying my voice, and I don't know how it's going to sound, and this is intimidating. Or they don't want to sort of seem too full of themselves, like, oh, I don't need a microphone. I'll just talk to people, you know, voice to voice. But what I've realized is it's so much better when everyone can hear you.
That seems so simple.
It does. But don't you agree?
100%. This came up at our Happier in Hollywood cocktail party Q&A that we did. Chuck was like, oh, I'll come. I'll do a microphone setup. And we're like, no, that's silly. That's
right.
You know,
don't need microphones. Yeah. We'll just talk to everybody.
Yeah. If you feel like you don't want to put people out. And Chuck was like, no, we're doing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, thank God he did. It really did help. And it helped not only us as the people answering the questions and speaking to the group, like our voices were definitely saved, but it also helped the audience because he had a microphone that was like being moved around in the audience and we could hear questions.
Yes.
Other people could hear questions. Yes. There was never that moment of like, wait, what did
having
they say?
To repeat what they said and not quite getting it right because you didn't quite hear it. Yes.
Everything goes much smoother. Just accept that the microphone is actually a good thing.
Yes. And it really does save your voice because I find when Gretchen and I do meet and greets, just because there's a lot of people and you're in a big space often, my voice at the end of it will be so strained. And so, not that I'm going to walk around a meet and greet with a microphone, but it's just the thing of, like, whenever you can do your voice a favor and save it, why not?
Yes.
And it's just more professional. Like, at the end of the day, we're all wanting to be professionals, and it is more professional to have a microphone and have everyone be able to hear you. So just do it, please, for us.
And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. For questions or comments, email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Thank you to our executive producer, the amazing Chuck Reed, and everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13.
And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Check out the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, Side Hustle School, and the new podcast from Whole30's Melissa Urban, Do the Thing.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at S Fain, and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Do you know how close I was to Amaj?
Were you?
Oh, my. I was like, there were like three different things I could have gotten.
Oh.
One, just any of the three, and I would have had Amaj. A Joker, obviously. Like a 9 crack.
That's brutal.
It was devastating.
You know, when I get a particularly great Maj, I take a photo of it and I text it to my mom because she's playing too.
Aww.
From the Onward Project.